Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Yes, well, welcome to Christ Fellowship. What an amazing morning so far. Anybody watch any football yesterday? I don't know if you saw anything on TV, but I am going to remind you a little bit. Here we go. Come on, come on, come on. Let's go, come on. All you Buckeye haters, it was an amazing game. You can at least say that, right? It was an amazing game. I went to bed, so I don't even know what happened last night after that. I won't even ask you questions. That was fun. If you're a guest, we don't talk about football every week, just every other week, at least during football season. But listen, if you're a guest, we're so glad that you're here. We love to have fun here. We're pretty simple, though. You know, we don't think that a church should gather around a man. Amen to that. We don't believe it's a pastor or even a band. We believe a church comes around the presence of God. We don't just come here to stay here. We come here and we go out into the city, right? To express the kingdom of God to the Tri-Cities. If the Tri-Cities is not experiencing Jesus through us, I don't know where they're going to experience it, guys. So we're a simple church. We gather here and then we scatter for the name of Jesus. Today we're going to continue our series, and not just continue, we're actually going to wrap it up. Anybody glad? Like, you're like, man, this is the series that never ends. Anybody like, you're like, yeah, Derek, like, I get it. Like, let's move on. Well, I get that. I hear that. But we're going to finish one last time here. One last time. And in this series, we've been looking at this idea of the whiteboard. What does a whiteboard do? You know, like a coach, you write down plays on the whiteboard. You make halftime adjustments. You make adjustments in the third quarter to get ready for the fourth quarter. And the hope is that whatever's on the whiteboard would actually be played out when we hit the field, right? If it just stays on the whiteboard, it's wasted. It's just not even useful. And in business, the same thing. We write our ideas. We write our vision. We write our strategy. But if it just stays here, nothing ever gets better. Nothing ever changes. And so in this series, we've been looking for a while now at different things that we may talk about as a church, we may have in our vocabulary, or we may have read or heard about one time, and we just go about it and do it just because that's what we do. But I don't want us to be that kind of church. I want us to know why we do what we do and actually live out the truth that we believe God has given us in His Word. And so we've been looking at things from baptism, why should we be baptized, to, you know, why should we give, or why should we sing and worship the God of this universe? And we've been looking at different things each week. And today we're going to continue and wrap up. And this is the word that we're going to tackle today, eternity. Some of you thought this series was going to last for eternity, but it's not. It's going to end today. Eternity. This is where we're at today, eternity. And many of us have some ideas. Maybe we've read a book. Maybe we've listened to a country song that talks about, you know, there's holes in the floor of, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. Like, sometimes we get our theology from songs and from funerals and from all types of things. And today we're not going to get in all the weeds of this. I think next year, you know, we're going to do a series just on heaven, because I posted a question on Facebook and I say, what questions do you have about heaven? And some of you responded, and I'm so grateful. But there were some amazing responses, amazing questions. Like, y'all are some of the smartest people in the world, have some awesome questions. But we can't tackle all that in one Sunday. And so today, we're going to look a little bit about this eternity. And I want us to learn a little bit, and hopefully our perspective would be changed just a little bit. Now, when we started this series, you know, 3 months ago, 2 months ago, the first thing that we started with was the kingdom of God, right? The kingdom of God is something that Jesus spoke about more than likely anything else that he taught about. He said the kingdom of God is now here because the king, Jesus himself, is present. And so he said, listen, the kingdom of God is now being expressed on this earth. And we define the kingdom, and I want just to kind of bring full circle for you and your notes. The first thing you write down is to remind you where we began this series, and that is that the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God. It's wherever, whatever God and his character, it's when that is aligned here on earth, we have stepped into the kingdom of God, literally. Like, when we forgive somebody who we shouldn't forgive based on the world standard, guess what? The kingdom of God has showed up. When we love somebody who isn't lovable, man, guess what? The kingdom of God shows up. And so we've been talking about this kingdom throughout this series. Now, I got to ask the question, where today in 2017, sitting here or standing here, where is the kingdom of God most fully expressed? Where is it most fully expressed? I think the answer is heaven. If you have your Bible, open up to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read a little bit about what Matthew talks about in eternity. So where is the kingdom most fully expressed? This is when Jesus has his disciples together in chapter 6 of Matthew, and he's teaching them how to pray. And this is what Jesus teaches. Pray then like this. Our Father in where? Heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth here in the Tri-Cities as it is in heaven. I mean, just think about that. You know, we've been talking about the kingdom and how do we express the kingdom of God, to express Jesus to our city and to our sphere of influence. And what he says here is that we are to express it and ask God to express it through us as it is in heaven. And so what that means is that in heaven, there is a fully complete kingdom of God where the rule and reign of God is not in question. Everything is aligned with God's desire in heaven right now. Can you just imagine that for a second? I mean, God thinks something, it immediately happens. He sends the angel, says, hey, Michael, hey, go over here. Guess what Michael does? He didn't say, let me pray about that, God. No, immediately he goes and does it. The kingdom of God is fully expressed in heaven. But what is heaven? What is heaven? This is what one scholar, his name is Wayne Grudem, this is what he says heaven is. It's the place where God most fully makes known his presence to bless. Heaven is a place where God most fully makes known his presence to bless. And so it's wherever the rule and reign of God, where what God desires is happening fully, that is heaven. It's his primary dwelling place. And that sounds weird for a God who is omnipresent. He's everywhere. You can't outrun God. But in heaven, there's this amazing kind of manifestation of the presence of God. And we know that because it says, our Father who is in heaven, right? And we know when Jesus left this earth and he ascended back to the Father, guess where he went? It said that he ascended back to heaven. And when Stephen, one of the early church members, when he was being stoned to death for his faith in Jesus, it says as he was being stoned, he looked up in the heavens part and he saw the glory of the Father and Jesus was at his right side. You see, we need to know this, at least we need to know this today, that heaven is not a state of mind. Some of us may have heard that, or maybe culture, you've kind of bought into that. Heaven is not just a state of mind. Heaven is an actual place with an actual location. And we need to recognize that today, because the Father is in heaven. And it says we are going to heaven. So we need to recognize that heaven is not just some place in our minds where we're going to ascend to someday. It's an actual real place where the Father and the Son are. And someday the followers of Jesus are going to pass and they're going to be in heaven, in the presence of God. I've got a few observations from the scriptures about heaven that I'd like to share with you, and you can write these down if you want. Number one, we will interact with heavenly beings in heaven. That seems kind of odd, but there are beings, angels and others, that we have no idea, we can't even comprehend, and someday in heaven, we're actually going to be interacting with them and worshiping God. It's going to be crazy. Just read Revelation if you want a taste of it. It's going to be wild. We can't even imagine what our eyes are going to lay on. And so we're going to be interacting with heavenly beings. Number two thing I think we see in Revelation is that we're going to have some awareness of what is happening on the earth. Now, that may sound a little odd to you, but if we look in Revelation chapter 6, we see, you know, John is having this vision. That's what he wrote down in the book of Revelation. And in this vision, a little ways into it, he has this vision where he saw the altar of the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness that they had bore. So what he's seeing in heaven is the souls of those that have been killed for their faith. We would call them martyrs. And so John is writing, he sees these people in heaven, and this is what they are saying. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Now I think it's very interesting. Now, we don't know all the details of, you know, if you've got a family member or a relative or a friend that has passed away and they were a Jesus follower, that they're in heaven. We don't know exactly like how much does God pull the curtain open for them to see what's happening. But from this text, we know at least a little hint that there are some in heaven, if not everyone in heaven, who still is aware and acknowledge of what is going on this earth, right? And not only are they aware, they're aware of the injustices that are still happening on us. It's very interesting that in heaven, we're going to have some kind of awareness of still what's going on in earth. Another thing that I love about heaven is that it's going to be diverse. How many of you know we're not all going to look the same in heaven? Anybody excited about that? You know, we're not all just going to be white or black or yellow, or we're not all going to be from the same country. Amen to that. You know, it's not America only that goes to heaven. We all know that, right? Like, this is what he writes about the church. He says, after I look, this is John, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number. This is what heaven's going to be like. A multitude that no one could number. And this is who made up the multitude. Listen to this. This is beautiful. He says, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb. You know, that's a beautiful picture of what heaven's going to look up. It's going to be unified, but we're going to have diversity in our unity. It's going to be beautiful. And that's why as a church at Christ Fellowship, we want to embody that. We don't want to just say, man, someday we're going to have a diversity in the gathering of the saints. No, we say, man, we want what's happening in heaven to become what's happening here today. And so that's why, man, we don't want to ever say, you're not welcome to our church. You look a little different than me. I don't know. You got a few other opinions about, I don't know about that. We don't want to be that church. And so we want to say, we want to look like heaven looks in the future. So we want a diverse kingdom here on this earth with color, with ethnicity, with culture. We desire that. And guess what? It takes some work. There's going to be times when we offend each other. We step on each other's toes. But let me tell you, it's worth it. Because when we live in adversity today, we're already expressing the future kingdom that will be very diverse. And that's why as a church, we want to be a church that's diverse. The last thing that I want to observe or give you about heaven is that when we get to heaven, I think we're going to be surprised about who is actually there when we get there. Some of you are like, yeah, hear that, baby. You might be in there as well, right? And why do I say that? Well, towards the end of Jesus' life, when he was walking the earth, and there was another guy that was walking the earth at the same time, and he had an issue. He had an issue, and it was theft. He loved to steal things. And we don't know exactly what he stole, but we know that he was known for being a thief. And at some point, whether it was multiple occasions he had stole things or maybe just one big time, maybe he robbed the bank of, you know, Jerusalem. I don't know what he did. But at one point, he did something that caused him to be punished. And his punishment was not like, hey, I'm going to slap you on the wrist. It wasn't like, hey, you're sent to community service. They didn't do things like that back in these days. They said, hey, you're a thief. You're going to be hung on a cross to be killed. And so this man, he hears a sentence. He goes about his business, and he gets hung on a cross. But it just happens that same day, there were two other men that were being hung on a cross that day. Another thief, another criminal. And then in between the two criminals was this man named Jesus. One criminal was talking about Jesus and saying, Jesus, like, if you're so great, why don't you come down? And this man hears this man kind of mocking Jesus. And he says, man, don't you fear God? Man, we could say that a lot. Don't we fear God? And then he has this conversation with Jesus, the Messiah. And he expresses his faith in him. Maybe not in the way that we would say it, but that's what he's done. He fears God. He sees Jesus as the Messiah. And what does Jesus tell him? Hey, one day, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be with me in paradise. Now just think about that. Man is what we believe Jesus. He's in heaven, right? Now just can you imagine the one that he stole from if they were a follower of Jesus and they entered into heaven? Imagine when they got to heaven and they got there and they saw him. You? By the way, I need my cow back, man. What are you doing? Like, and this is what that guy's going to say. Yeah, you're right. Jesus. You're right, man. I was a thief. I was a terrible dude. But Jesus. You know that's what we're all going to say? I think there's an element of, man, all of us. You're like, man, great. God's grace is that great? Yeah. Yeah. Jesus. I'm not going to get there and say, man, I went to church. Christ Fellowship. It was an amazing church. I went, you know, three Sundays out of the month. That gets me in heaven. No, Jesus. I read my Bible every day. Nope, Jesus. Now, are those good things? Yeah, they are. Do they help us form the image of Christ? Yeah, they do. But the reason why you and I may get to the chance to step inside of heaven one day is only going to come because of Jesus and his grace and his mercy and love. And so when we get to heaven, I believe that we're going to be surprised at some of the people that were there. So when we're talking about heaven, it's the fullness of the kingdom expressed in the full, and we're going to step into that when we all die. All of us one day are going to die, and we're either going to go to heaven or we're going to go somewhere else that we're not going to get into today. But here's what I want us to realize, that everyone that dies before Jesus' return, and we don't know if that's tomorrow, today, and 1,000 years, we don't know, seems to be getting closer. At least today is going to be one day closer than yesterday, right? Amen to that, right? All of us, when we die, before Jesus returns, are going to be in this place called heaven if we follow Jesus and place our faith in him. But here's what I want us to know today, that heaven is not our final destination. I want you to write that down. Heaven is not our final destination. And before you, you call me out for blaspheming scripture or put me on the stake to crucify me based on that statement, let me just tell you what I mean. When I say heaven is not our final destination, if you have your Bible, you can flip open to the very last book of the Bible in Revelation, the next to last chapter, actually, of the last book, chapter 21. We're also going to have it on the screen here. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. Somebody say amen to that. Come on, we got to get excited. Like, this is so much truth. He said, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people. This is our final destination. It says, he will wipe away every tear from their eye and death shall be no more. Once again, you said amen to that. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. The future destination of the followers, Jesus, the saints that have placed their faith in him, is not heaven. It is the new earth. It is a new earth, a new creation that Jesus says, one day when I come, I'm going to resurrect your bodies. You're going to be joined back to your bodies. It's going to be the state like Jesus was when he was walking around. And your new bodies are not going to be on some cloud like a fairy tale. You're actually going to reside and inhabit the new earth that I'm going to create. Now this passage is sharply contested by a couple different groups. And if you're reading this passage, there's two kind of places where you can land. Number one, some theologians believe that when Jesus says that the old is going to pass away, and that he's going to create new, that literally he means that he's going to just obliterate the earth and wipe it out like no more. And then he's going to create a new earth and a new heaven kind of from scratch, right? That's one theological stance. And if you believe that, this is not a salvation issue. You're welcome to this church. That's great. But I'm going to tell you what I believe to be true when I read the whole of Scripture. Is that Jesus is not talking about just completely obliterating the old. What he is talking about is he's going to take the old and he's going to restore it. And it's going to be better than it ever was to begin with. And so it's not just an obliterate the old. No, it says I'm going to actually restore and I'm going to make it new. And you say, how do I get this? Well, let me tell you a little bit about who we are if we're followers of Jesus Christ. This is what Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now, let me ask you, were you a person before you came to Jesus? Yes. You better hopefully say yes on that. Now, let me ask you, after you placed your faith in Jesus, do you still have the same body? Yes. So you're a new creation. You're the same but totally different. See, that's what I believe that Jesus is going to do someday. It's going to be the same earth, the same, but he's going to completely cleanse it of all unrighteousness, all sin, all brokenness, and he's going to take this earth and he's going to completely restore it. And when I say that, what I believe when I read the scripture is that he's going to restore it back to what he originally intended from the beginning. Because remember when he created the creation, what did he say? Man, this isn't that great. No, what did he say? He said, it's good. God was pleased with his creation when he created it. So I believe that God is actually going to restore it back to the state it was in the Garden of Eden. Now, why is that important? We can learn a little bit about our future state from our former state, right? In the Garden of Eden, there was perfect communion with God. They walked in the cool of the day with God. There was no conflict between husband and wife. Wouldn't we love that? Like, we're like, yeah, bring that on. Like, we need that, right? They didn't question their identity in the Eden. There was no shame. They knew their purpose and they lived in it. And also, they were there to cultivate and work the ground completely. And so what I think this new earth and this new heaven, as I read the Holy Scripture, God is going to restore the earth. And as he restores our body, our resurrected bodies, that just like Jesus, when he walked this earth, he's going to restore us and resurrect us. And I believe he's going to bring restoration in these four ways. And I'd love you to write these down. Number one way God is going to restore is our relationship with God. This is what he did through Jesus, right? Like, we had a debt to pay. There was this gap between us and God. And Jesus says, listen, I'm going to take your sin. I'm going to actually take all the wrath of God, the penalty of that. I'm going to take that upon myself. Why? So that you can be restored back to God, just as we were in the garden. Not only is God restoring our relationship through Jesus to the Father, but he's also restoring our relationship with ourself, right? He, in the new earth, in the new heaven, for eternity, you and I are not going to question who we are. We're not going to be posers and project perfection. We're going to be confident in who God has made us to be. There's not going to be a shadow self. There's not going to be a mask when we come to the worship service in God. We're going to be confident in who we are and who God has made us to be, and we're going to live that out. We're going to be restored fully to who we are. But not only to God ourselves, but others to also to others, right? You know, God said, I want to send Jesus. He's going to restore you to the Father. He's going to restore you to yourself. But he's also, his desire is that he would restore community. You know, we love to say, man, love God with all your heart, your mind, and spirit. But there's another command that comes right after that. And what is it? Love your neighbor as yourself. This is God's desire. This is what it looks like to live out the kingdom of God. It's restored relationship with others. And then the last thing we see is that we're going to have a restored relationship with creation itself. God is going to renew it, and we're going to cultivate it. We're going to create it. We're going to use it for the way that God desired. These are the four things that God is going to do when Eden comes back, when he says, I'm going to restore heaven and earth. And this is the crazy part. This is the amazing part. What we experience today, you know, your taste buds. Can you imagine your taste buds when everything is perfect? Oh my goodness. It's going to be amazing. Your relationships now, imagine your relationships now without sin. Oh my goodness. Imagine what that would look like. How great is this going to be to walk in the new creation, set there to think, to create, to learn about God, to play, to work, to do all these things, the things that he created us to do, to give worship to him. This is what we're going to be doing for creation. It's going to be amazing. Now, why is that important this morning? Why is it important that eternity is going to be the restoration of all of these things? Because this is what we need to know. God is the restorer. Capital T, the restorer. And that should give us some hope today, because not only does he care about our relationship with him, but on this earth, he cares about your other relationships and culture itself. And this gives us hope, because a marriage that's broken, and I guarantee there's some sitting in this room and you're like, man, I just don't even want to be beside this person today. You have no idea what they did to me. Listen, when Jesus is involved, there's hope, because he's the restorer. Some of you parents are beating yourself up for how you've taught your kids, how you put your kids through some hard things. Listen, I'm telling you, there's hope. His name is Jesus. He's the restorer. Some of us in this room, you're like, man, my career, I've totally messed it up. I've made bad decisions. Listen, there's hope. His name is Jesus. He's the restorer. If Jesus is willing to restore us to the Father, if he's willing to restore the world back to perfection, what does he want to do in your life? I was preaching in Ohio just a couple weeks ago and at a men's event. Back at our old church where I first began to preach, and my good friend Steve, he owns a tattoo studio there, amazing follower of Jesus, just loves him and loves people so well. He had invited a friend with him to this service, and he said, hey man, you'll get a free dinner out of it, so why don't you come? You know, that's the best way to sometimes, the people's heart is through their stomach. So he had been walking with this guy for 10 plus years. At one point, he actually employed him at his tattoo studio. But this guy that showed up that my friend invited, he was known as an angry atheist. Hated God, didn't want to know anything about God. Every time he had a conversation that had anything spiritual, he would just shut it down. Man, there's no nonsense. He lived a rough life. He was addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, poor decisions left and right, and really just his life was just chaos. But he came this night because his friend Steve had been talking to him for about 10 years, trying to share truth. and trying to love on him. And so he shows up that night, and by the grace of God, something that was shared that night penetrated his soul, and he stood up at the end and said, I want to go all in. God, I trust you. I believe in you. I submit to you. I am yours. And that was amazing. But here's the amazing part. As that happened, we celebrated with him. And then we took him out to dinner because, you know, that's what we do. When you got a new family member, what do? You celebrate with him, right? That's what we should be doing. When somebody comes in the kingdom, let's celebrate. So we took him out to dinner, and we're sitting there, and he's telling us, man, I feel so different. Like, the weight of the world was on me, but now I feel so light. Like, there's a transformation already. This is crazy. He couldn't even put words to it, the change in his life, after he had submitted to the Lord. But then he started thinking. I could see his wheels were turning. You know how that look people get when they start thinking, like, deeper than just, like, what do I want to order off the menu? Like, deeper. And I started looking at him. He's like, he said, what if God wants to not only restore my relationship with him, but what if he wants to restore my relationship with my father in heaven, or on this earth? And he began to tell us that his relationship with his father had been totally broken. And he said, man, now that I'm in the kingdom of God and I've been restored, what if that restoration isn't just in here, but now it's to flow this way in that relationship with my father who I've always wanted but never could have, never had the guts to go and talk to him? What if God wants to restore that relationship? What was happening in that moment? His mind was being renewed. See, when we're in the kingdom of God, we start thinking like the king of the kingdom. And how many of you know when God is involved, there's no impossibility? And we talk to this guy and we're like, hey man, this is what we want to do. I believe that God does want to restore your relationship, but this is what you need to do. You need to saturate it in prayer. You pray. And then you ask God, what do you want me to do? And then you do it. And I said, what you can have confidence in, you be obedient. Don't worry about the response of your father. But what happened? He considered the fact that God wasn't just restoring this, but he also wanted to restore this. It's a beautiful thing. And God one day will restore all things. The last thing I want you to write in your notes is that today will impact eternity. Today will impact eternity. In Matthew chapter 6, a little bit after Jesus taught them how to pray, he continues on and changes gears, and he begins to talk a little bit about treasures and money and finances. And he says this, he says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. There it is again, in heaven. Where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there also will be your heart. And so what is Jesus saying here? This is what he's not saying. Let me just be clear. That he is not saying that money is evil, okay? He's not saying if you have a lot of money that you are not godly. Nowhere do you see that. Actually, in scripture, many followers of Jesus and many people of faith in the Old Testament had wealth because God had given it to them, right? So money in and of itself is not evil. But what does he say? He says, the love of money, that's what is evil. That's what's going to undermine my will for you. And so what we see in Jesus is, listen, guys, be careful how you're spending your time on earth because it will impact eternity. Not just the destination, like, are you going to go to heaven or hell, but actually how you spend eternity. He says, there will be a reward. There will be something more if you invest in things that are eternal and not just here, present, right? Any of us like to invest, play the stock market a little bit, some of us in this room? Anybody heard of ROI, return on investment? It's like, what do I hope to get? Like, I'm going to give this $1,000. When I get it back, am I going to get it back with, you know, a profit, right? $1,500. Like, that would be a great thing. And so ROI. And so really what Jesus is talking about here, if we want to lay it down, he's talking about ROI. He's saying, listen, guys, if you invest in the things of this world, and your priority, your identity is wrapped up in the things that you have. He says your ROI, the return on that investment, is going to be really sharply high for a moment, but then it's going to flatline and it's going to be completely nothing for eternity. But he says, instead of investing in those things, instead of putting that as such a priority in your life, what if you invested in eternal things? He says that the return on the eternal things is not quite immediate. Like, we're not guaranteed, you know, that we're going to get everything in this world. Right? He didn't say that. He says, but if you invest today in eternity, the return on your investment is going to be more than you could ever imagine. You're going to have things that you can't even think up right now in your head for all of eternity. And let me just give you a little hint. Our life on earth pales in comparison to that of eternity. The length of time for sure, but also the enjoyment of what we're going to have in a tournament is going to be. And so what he says is, be careful. How are you investing your life? Are you investing your lives in other people? Are you loving those that are unloved? Are you serving those that are served? How are you leading your company? This is not just for a pastor, right? This is for all of us who follow Jesus Christ. What does it look like for you to invest in things that have eternal value? Not just coming to church, not just reading your Bible, but how do you treat people? How do you speak life over people? How do you encourage people? How do you make yourself willing and able to be positioned that God could use you? Do you lead with integrity? What are we talking about here? We're talking about expressions of the kingdom. When we express the King of the kingdom in our world today, it has an impact for eternity. You may be able to walk somebody else into the kingdom, like we talked about this girl right here that's getting baptized today. Somebody was walking alongside her, pointed her to the King of Kings and said, walk. Maybe that's what you'll do. Or maybe you'll just be a little point along the way where you say, like my friend, hey, here's truth. I love you. I'm going to show you that I love you. And I'm also going to talk to you about. And then one day somebody else gets to come along and gets to usher that person in the kingdom of God. You have no idea the impact that you can make for today, for eternity. The psalmist, he gives us some wisdom. He says, teach us to number our days. You know, in this culture, we don't like to think about anything other than the present. We like to think, man, I'm invisible. I'm going to live this life and full out. But what the psalmist says, there's wisdom in recognizing that this life, your life, has a shelf life. One day you're going to stand before God. So Jesus would say, how are you investing your life? Things of eternal value or things that are going to be fleeting? And we're going to sing a song here in just a moment that really resonates with what's happening in heaven this morning. As we think about eternity, we think about heaven. Right now, there's creatures, all kinds of angels that are right now before God. In Revelation 4, it says they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. So we're going to join them this morning in thinking. And as we sit there, I just want you to ask yourself, what would it look like today to recognize that I have an opportunity to impact eternity by expressing the kingdom of God in my life? What would that look like this week if that was your aim? More than your promotion, more than getting ahead, which none of those are bad, but what if your aim was to express the kingdom on this earth as it is in heaven?